Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Now, I got a quick story to share with y'all here.
Make sure that's on, baby. I don't know.
It's on, yes, sir. About a week ago, I believe it was, God told me to tell a guy in a hotel about Jesus. Yet, I didn't have any tracks on me or anything, and I didn't know what to say, so I just didn't say nothing. I never got another chance to tell him about it, anything. And then Brother Blue, we went to a meeting, and Brother Blue, he started preaching, and boy, he nailed on everything, why I shouldn't have not told that man. So now, in Shoney's there, God started telling me again. He's like, go tell that one. And at first, I didn't want to. I was afraid. I didn't know how I'd react. But then I decided, I've already messed up once. I better not do it again. So I got up there, and I went and invited him. Well, you know what? I found out it's easy. He immediately started talking, and now look, he told me he's come to church. He came out of his way to thank me and told me again he's coming to church. Just goes to show you what you can do when God tells you to go witness someone. I know you can't go around passing the tract to everyone, or you'll never get anything done. But when God tells you to go tell somebody, you need to go tell him. You never know what God will do. Genesis chapter 17. I want to thank you, preacher, for giving me the opportunity to preach. Genesis chapter 17. And we'll start reading here in verse 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, and with which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time the next year. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint me in these couple minutes that I preach, Lord. I pray that you'd allow me to get the message that you've given to me to give to these people, Lord. I pray that through my weakness you'd show yourself strong, Lord. Allow these people to know that it's not me up here preaching, but that it's you that's just shall fit to use me, Lord. And I thank you for all that you do. I pray that you'd get the honor and glory out of everything that's done today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach on tonight when God has another plan. Sometimes there are times when God's plan doesn't seem to line up with what we thought he would do. He seems to just go way different, way just out of bounds where our minds would see how it would work. He just works almost, it's just weird how he does it sometimes. And we're constantly thinking, why? What? Why is God doing this in our lives? Well, first of all, I want to look at God's plan, maybe to test your faith in him. We see here in the text that God was telling Abraham that Isaac was going to be his promised seed. He had told him before here that he was going to bring a great nation from him and everything. And Abraham had already messed up a little bit. I don't need to go into that story too much. But he'd messed up. But now he's talking to God, and God told him, no, it's Isaac that the promise is going to come through. So he points out here, you see, he specifically says it's Isaac that the promise is going to come through. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 22. There's a couple chapters ahead. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. So we see here God's given Abraham a promise, but now he seems almost to be working against himself. He tells him to go sacrifice the promised one. I mean, what kind of... No human would be able to see the reasoning behind that. What kind of reasoning is behind this? Why would God be telling him? He's telling him to kill the one he promised. I mean, Abraham, though, yeah, we see he immediately obeys, and he starts going. And, well, they get up to the mountain and everything, and they set up the sacrifice, or the altar, and get everything prepared. And it gets to the point where Abraham has now tied his son down to the altar, and he's got the knife up like this, and he's about to kill him. I'd hate to have to be at that place. That'd be a hard place to be at. I can't imagine what was going through his mind at that point. I'm about to kill God's promise to me because he told me, why is he doing this? Why am I going to have to do this? And he's about to plunge that knife into him, and then all of a sudden, out of, go to verse 9 here. When they came to the place which God told him of, and Abraham built the altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So he's standing here, you see, and he's about to plunge it in. Look down here in verse 11. All of a sudden the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. So we see here, he's about to plunge the knife and God stops him. Now, what's the reasoning behind this? Why would God send Abraham through a couple days of wondering what's going on? Why would he send him to go supposedly kill his son, and yet he's been the promised seed? Why? What's the point here? We see here in Hebrews chapter 11, you don't have to turn there, verse 17, it says, By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he had received him in a figure. Now we see here, from looking through Scripture, that God's the whole plan behind it was just to test Abraham's faith, to see if he was willing to follow God's will for his life. So that's one reason right there that sometimes God's plan might be different than we think. God, it might be to test your faith in him. But then we see, my next point is God's plan may be to glorify him. Turn to John chapter 11. John 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Verse 1, we'll start reading in. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And now skip down to verse 6. And when he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So now we see here that Mary and Martha, their brother's sick. And now Jesus, he loves them. The Bible says here that he loved them. And he's sick. And of course, any of us, somebody's sick, you know that somebody could heal him. We'd, of course, the immediate thing we do is go ask him to come. I mean, Jesus has been healing so many unsaved people and fixing all their problems, everything. I mean, why wouldn't God fix one of our problems? So we see here they send a message to Jesus saying, hey, please come down here. Lazarus is sick and we need you to heal him before he dies. Yet we see here in verse 6 that God stays there for 2 more days. Now what would be God's plan with that? Why in the world is God staying here for 2 more days when somebody he loves is dying? Why? It just doesn't make any sense. Well, look down let me get back to my place here. Look in verse 20 of the same chapter. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then Mary said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. So now we see that after 2 days, Jesus is all of a sudden coming. Now I can tell you this much. If I was Jesus and I had held off for 2 days already, I don't think I'd be coming now. I mean, they'd probably be mad at me. Anyways, we see here that Jesus comes there, and Martha, I believe it was, yes, Martha comes up to him and he says, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. You can just hear the pain in her voice. And look down at verse 32. Jesus here is called Mary now. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. They're coming to him and saying, God, why? We asked you, we wanted you to come and fix him. We wanted you, he was dying, we knew that. We asked you to come fix him. Why didn't you come? Why did you work against what we wanted you to be able to do for us? Why'd you let him die? Why? I mean, you've done this for all these other people. Why not for one of your own?
So we see here, I mean, we all know that Jesus could have healed him. We all know that. It seems really cruel to do with somebody like that, especially somebody that you know really well. I mean, somebody that you love. It'd be really cruel to do something like that to somebody like that. But now let's look back here in verse 4. When Jesus heard that, this is when he's hearing that he's sick, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." We see here now that God comes. Yes, he let him die, yes. But he comes back, and he's wanting to get glory out of their situation. He comes there, and we see here, as you read a little farther down, that he raises Lazarus from the dead. And God gets all the glory from it. So that first we see here that God's plan may be to test your faith in him. Then we see that God's plan may be just to glorify himself. Then thirdly, here we see here that God's plan may be to see sinners saved. Please turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verse 37. We see here that God, they're going into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's taken some of the disciples with him here. This is after the Last Supper or whatever. And he's about to be crucified. Or pretty soon here, he's about to be captured. In verse 37 it says, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Then dropped down to verse 42, and he went away the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Then look in verse 44. "And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." So we see here Jesus three times goes and prays. He's got a heavy burden on him. He's about to be crucified, take the sins of the whole world. He's got a heavy burden on him. Yet we see here he's asking God, "Lord, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Let the other way happen. Yet nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Now if my son came up to me, of course I don't have a son yet, but if my son came up to me and said, let's just pretend I have a son. Let's say he came up to me and asked me for something. And let's say I asked him to do something that's too hard for him or something. And he asked me if there was any other way that he could do it. I know I would as a father. I'm sure y'all would. Y'all would let him find out some other way for him, or at least go and help him with it. Yet we see here that Jesus is God's son, and he's asking God, "Lord, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, Lord, please let it do this other way. This is a heavy burden to be borne." Yeah. Yet God, he doesn't do anything. He just lets him. He lets him take it. Why? Well, I mean, what's the purpose in that? Well, we see here then, as you look through more through the story, Jesus is captured. Then he's crucified. And takes upon the sins of the whole world. Why would God let his son die? Why would God not let him be able to get away from it? Why would God make it where he had to take that cup so that people could be saved? I thank God that he had another plan. I thank God that he didn't allow his son, that he had another plan so that I could get saved. So that everyone in here that's saved today could be saved. I thank God. I don't deserve it, no, but I thank God for it. So we see here, maybe there's some people here today who's, maybe you've all got, I'm sure all of us have our trials and things. Maybe there's an area in your life where it seems like God's got another plan. You can't understand it. Maybe, as we see through these points, maybe it's just that God's wanting to test your faith. Maybe he's wanting to say, "Are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to trust me in this situation?" Maybe it's just so that God gets glory out of the situation. Maybe he's wanting you to see how he can work. He's wanting to get glory out of the situation. Or maybe it's to be a sinner saved. You never know who's going to be watching you at that point when you're going through that trial. You never know who, maybe it's somebody at your workplace that's not saved, that are watching how you react to your situation. You never know. As we see here, even in the situation with Lazarus, there was more than one reason involved. Yes, the main reason was that God would get the glory. But when people saw Lazarus raised from the dead, it says little down in the chapter that many people believed on him. Sometimes it's more than one reason. Sometimes, maybe it could be all three. He's wanting to test your faith, where at the same time he's getting the glory, and at the same time people's getting saved.
Amen.
You never know what God's plan to do. I thank God that there's another plan, that he has another plan. Just remember that when God's plan is different from what you expect, God's plan still is best. He knows what he's doing. You might not know. No, we're just humans. But God, as Brother Tonkin was saying, he's kind of like almost in an airplane. He can see everything. He knows exactly what he's doing. We might just be driving the car. We don't know what's coming up ahead. But God does. And thank God he's got another plan. Where for us, if we were left to ourselves to decide what it was, Jesus, he wouldn't have died on the cross. And then we wouldn't have been getting saved. Were it for us, Abraham would have never taken him up here, and we wouldn't have this story of how God can test your faith. And for us, when we're having trials, we wouldn't have this story to see that God might just do it to test your faith. Were it not for the story of Lazarus there with God not having another plan, we wouldn't know that God sometimes just uses it to get glory for himself. We wouldn't know. Thank God that God had another plan. Preacher, that's right.